Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and Charles Camps show how the laws of faith work and how to apply them in our daily lives in order to accomplish everything that God has planned for us.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. We are having a marvelous time on the Believer's Voice of Victory all this week. Brother Charles Capps is here. Would you join me in welcoming this man of faith to this broadcast? Charles, you already got me stirred up, brother. I'm telling you. Yesterday, and right at the close of the broadcast, it just really, it stirred me to the core of my being. You know, you and I, as we've talked earlier, we've flown airplanes for years. And I was thinking about back there in the 60s and 70s, along in there, we were flying some pretty high-performance airplanes back there then. But the only way you could get any training in one of them, the only way you could improve your ability in one, was to go fly the airplane itself. And trying to get engine out training and emergency training in the airplane, you can't go practice a wheels up landing. I mean, that there's only
a few people did.
Yeah, but they didn't mean to. There was only so far you could go. But when they developed simulators, man, you could wring that thing out. You could develop and work and work and work. And back there then, it was the same thing was true in the developing and the learning, the working knowledge of spiritual laws, of faith, righteousness, healing, all of these different things. And over the years, God has done for us today the same thing He's done for us that fly high and fast airplanes. We can go in that simulator, man, I'm telling you, they can reproduce 100% of any emergency that can happen to the thing. God,
you're not going to hurt anybody on that thing.
No, just do it till you get it right. God has done that for us on the internet, on the books, and the ministries, all of church pastors and that are available. And for you and me not to develop our faith, for this broadcast to be available to you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day on the internet, and for all of the powerful, powerful faith-building tools that are out there, you and I are going to have to answer to God if we don't do it. And here today is a man of many, many years of experience in developing faith. This is God's assignment on this man. So I'm just firing you to the fact you can be the faith man, the faith woman that you desire to be. You can be just as strong as any of the rest of us because the tools are available. Now, I got my piece in. So, that stirred me so right at the end of yesterday's broadcast that we're going to be held responsible for this, and we need to get on it now.
The law of the Spirit of life, Paul says in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So then Paul goes on here and said, you know, that the carnal mind's enmity against God, not subject to the law of God. And we were talking before the broadcast about if you're in condemnation about something, you got to get that condemnation off of you. God's not condemning you. It's the devil. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict you if you're doing things wrong. But we were talking about the fact that if you don't believe God heard your prayer, He didn't, because there's no faith there.
That's true. There's
God
no connection
doesn't just
all,
answer prayer. He answers a prayer of faith. And that's the reason God is not, you can't please God without faith. Because what He's provided, you're not partaking of. And you're suffering, and like bawling and squalling, like I used to, about God, do something about my finances and do something about my body. I'm sick, and I always confessed it. And the Lord said to me one morning when I was praying, He said, I said, Lord, I've prayed to not working out things getting worse. And He said, who told you that? Man, I mean, I didn't hear an audible voice, but it wouldn't have been any stronger. I thought a minute, and I said, well, it must have been the devil, because your word didn't say if I prayed it wouldn't work out, did it? He said, no, and I'd appreciate it if you quit coming to me and telling me what the devil said and called it praying. Boy, that'll jerk the slack out of you.
Yes, rope. Sir. It just jerked some out of me. Amen.
He said, you've been crying and wanting me to do something about your finances and situation, and said, every word comes out of your mouth, doubt and unbelief. He said, if you don't get your confession changed, it ain't going to get any better. It's going to get worse. I had all the worse I wanted. I
yes, read
and said, what am I going to do? He said, write down the scriptures. Find the scriptures that covers what you're dealing with and confess them daily. The renewing of the mind is what Paul said. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing is a continual sense. You got to keep that word coming in. And confession, all some people know about confession is confessing their sins. But we're talking about saying what the word says and speaking in agreement with it. See, if they get you in a court of law and you confess, you agreed that what they said was right.
Well, that's true, yeah. That's
and when you confess the word, you're agreeing what God said was right. And the promise of God, the Apostle Paul said, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Yeah. God's already said yes to it. He gave it to you. God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him. So if you don't have the knowledge of God, you wouldn't know that, and you can't believe in further than you have knowledge. But he said it's just through the exceeding great and precious promises that by these you're partakers of his divine nature. By the partakers of the divine nature of God. Now it comes through the Word of God, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about confession,
yes, sir.
Faith and confession. Faith is not dumb, and faith is not deaf.
Praise God.
Faith speaks.
Say that again, man. That's strong, Joel.
Faith is not dumb, and faith is not deaf. I hear the Word of God, and you hear when you speak. You know, when it comes to confession, the Lord just brought this to me. When I was in the third grade in school, they'd have a group stand on the one side of the room and one on the other side of the room, and we had quote the multiplication tables back and forth to one another until we knew them by heart.
Yeah, forward and back.
They knew back then that what you say audibly with your voice long enough, it gets down here. Now, I was listening to a tape of a fellow one time, and he was talking about the our ears. You know, we have two sets of ears. And I picked up on this, and I've been teaching that for years. My wife heard me teaching it and said, hey, Brother so-and-so got some of your teaching. I said, no, I got it from him. I don't remember who it was at this point. But anyway, we have two sets of ears. And you see, the word is nigh you, Paul said, it's in your mouth and in your heart. Now, the outer ear, why do we have two sets of ears? Outer ear and the inner ear, and even have a middle ear. But the outer ear is for the outer man, the inner ear is for the inner man.
That's right.
And Paul said the word is nigh you in Romans 10. He said the word is nigh you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. Now, how do you plant the seed of the Word of God? Jesus said if you had faith as a seed, you would say. And he said, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be cast in the sea, doubt not his heart, believe what he saith, and it'll come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, it's not hard to understand if you can turn your carnal mind off. But you've got to get your mind renewed to the Word of God to the point where your carnal mind don't overcome what the Word is saying. You can take a pencil and stick in this cup of water here, and you can stir it. First thing you're doing is just cutting water. But just keep stirring it. After a while, the water starts circling, following the pencil. Pull the pencil out, and it'll just keep circling. When you confess what God said long enough, you go to thinking like God thinks. And you go to seeing what God sees.
That's true.
And brother, when you get that image down in here, it's in your mouth and in your heart. And if you read Mark's fourth chapter, the parable of the sower, he said the heart of man's like soil. It'll produce anything you plant in it. And it's in your mouth and in your heart. So when we audibly, you know, I've had people say of my confession book, oh, I read that. It's not a reading book. It's a confession book.
Yes.
You don't read it and set it on the shelf. It's a daily thing. It's renewing the mind. Like somebody said, how's your hearing? That's continual sense. They don't want to know how you heard yesterday. If they said, how's your herd? You think you're talking about your cows, you know. How's your hearing? It's a continual sense. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a continual sense. You've got to keep putting this information in there in such abundance until it shuts down the carnal mind when you're making these decisions. And a great example of that, and we're going to get into it, is Abram and Abraham. Abram had the promise for a long time and nothing happened. But when God changed his name, things changed. But we'll get into that. I'm getting ahead of myself. But what we're talking about here is the knowledge of the Word of God and how to operate in it. Now, the inner ear, I can put my finger in my ear here, and it's louder to me when I close up my ear. Why? Because it's picked up, my voice is picked up by the inner ear. And the inner ear is for the inner man. What you speak and you pick up with the inner ear goes right down here, what the Bible calls the heart of man. It's not your blood pump.
No.
It's the spirit, the core of your being.
Yeah.
And Jesus likened it to a garden. Mm-hmm. It'll produce anything you plant in it. And people say, oh, well, I didn't mean that. I just said that. Hey, the soil didn't know you didn't mean that. And your body believes every word you say. And the Dr. Cho, in his book, Fourth Dimension, he said that he talked to a doctor and they said that the part of the brain that controls the speech is the part of the brain that secretes over 100,000 chemicals to the body.
Think about that, Charles.
And Jesus said you can have what you say.
And in the book of James, he talked about controlling the whole body with your tongue the way you control a horse with the reins and the bit in his mouth.
That's it.
Isn't that outstanding?
He said, you put bits in a horse's mouth, turn about the whole horse. Well, now what does bits do to a horse's mouth? Puts pressure on his mouth.
Puts pressure on his mouth, yeah.
And if you don't like the way the situation's going and circumstances are not going the way that you've believed or prayed, check up on your mouth. Put pressure on your mouth.
Sure.
And you have to do that. We all have to do that. I've had my wife time too to say, you need to read your own book, The Tongue of Creative Force.
John came to me yesterday and he said, Dad, Brother Capps is coming. I said, yeah. He said, did you know that little book of his, The Power of the Tongue, is still our ministry's number one best-selling book in our conventions and so forth? That same little book?
Yeah.
I mean, that thing's in pockets and purses all over the world, man. But that's why it's so important. Charles, there's something growing in me. It started growing in me in yesterday's broadcast, and it's really strong in my spirit right now. I just don't think that's right. I mean, for God to just demand that you have faith, I mean, I'm crying out to him. I mean, why? What do you mean, Charles Capps? You tell me God didn't hear my prayer because it didn't have any faith in it. I don't think that's right. Well, let me ask you this. And this, when you said that yesterday, it started working in me, and it's been strong in me. For me, it is impossible to please me without water. Because without water, I can't have that apple. Now, do you think it's wrong for God to demand water on the seed that produced the tree that produced that apple? No. It isn't the fact that he's being hard-nosed about it. The system works that way. Without the water, without the soil, without the light, you can't have anything to eat.
Yeah.
It's that simple over this thing. God isn't being hard-nosed about it. It's the fact that it takes the faith to produce it.
That's it.
And if you let the faith off it, isn't the fact it says, he's not saying, I'm not listening. No, 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 no. It's the fact there's nothing there to connect you with him. He's easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It isn't that. It's the fact that without the faith, he can't get it through to you because you're cutting him off, just like you refuse to water the tree.
Yeah. Hey, you know, he told Joshua in the Old Testament, Joshua 1:8, let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Now, that's the word of God they had in that day. They couldn't put the New Testament in their mouth. They didn't have it. But he said, let not the word of God depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. Now, the word meditate there means to mutter and speak to oneself. Speak, confession, in other words, day and night.
Day and night.
Day and night. I've gone to bed with scriptures going over in my mind at night, wake up in the middle of the night preaching, you know. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I've
experienced that.
Some of the answers to problems sometimes it would just happen when I'd get up in the morning. I'd suddenly have a flash of the Spirit in my spirit, and it's by meditating the Word of God. You know, there's no situation that you come up against in life that there's not an answer to, and it's usually very simple if you take the time to figure it out. There's always something. If you got something broke down, there's always something that available to you to fix that temporarily. Happy Caldwell was down in Louisiana one time. And he was staying with the pastor, and the pastor had only gone to the service, and he and Jeannie were going to come later. And they went out to crank up their van, and he hit the clutch, and the clutch rod broke. Fell off of it down there. And he got out and raised the hood, and there it is. It's broke. What's he going to do? Nothing to do. The pastor's already gone. And he's sitting there praying in the Spirit. And the Lord said, raise the hood. He raised the hood, and he said, take that hood rod that holds the hood up. He took it off, and it was the exact same rod that went to the clutch.
Oh, John.
when he went to get it fixed and get a new rod, he said, by the way, did y'all know that the hood rod is the same rod that goes to the clutch? They said, why? They didn't even know it. The Holy Ghost told him.
Listen to that.
Praise God. But he's confessing, whatever I do prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. You know, he kept the word of God in his mouth. And it takes faith to believe.
Now, if he stopped right there and said, why, that kind of thing always happens to me. I'm going to be late to that service. I ain't got no way of going to that. He'd have been sitting there to when the service was over with. He couldn't have heard without faith. He couldn't hear. Now, God's sitting there talking to him all the time. It isn't God that's the problem. It's us, Charles. It isn't God. He is not an absentee father. He is right there. He was right there. He knew that clutch rod was the same all the time. It was happy that didn't know it.
Yeah, that's right.
But now, if he'd have started that, talking the way the world talks, got mad, got all frustrated, throwed his Bible in the back seat of the car and said, God wanted me to preach. Why in the world he let that clutch rod break? He never would have wound up at the
wonderful
church.
Wonderful. It didn't break on the road, wouldn't it? But you see, the law of faith says that you must believe when you pray. Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So if there's no faith involved there, God's under no obligation.
That's true.
But that's why that without faith, it's impossible to please.
Charles, can we answer this question with that right there? When, you know, the natural mind comes along and says, well, I'm not interested in serving a God that had, you got a airplane crashes out here and some innocent little child dies and somebody else lives and that whole mess. But if God is not covenant obligated to somebody, there's no way he can intervene into that life. People just think God's just going to do this anything he wants to do, pulling and pushing and, you know, and all that. But that isn't true, is it?
No.
And when faith, when working knowledge of faith in this covenant, you know what it'd be like some guy saying, I don't believe in them insurance companies. I mean, they'll come in here and fix one guy's house, and this other guy over here, they won't even help him. Well, that guy had a contract with him, and this guy didn't. I mean, it really comes down to that when you're talking about faith. And the covenant is open to anybody that'll accept it, but it isn't God that's causing the trouble.
That's right. There's a friend of mine that lived in England, Arkansas, and we were good friends, and he had a little boy about 6 years old, and when the fire trucks and the sirens would go, he wanted to go follow them fire trucks, you know, and they'd follow them fire trucks down there, and there's a house on fire, and there's them red fire trucks, you know, and so that happened 3 or 4 times, and finally one day he said, Dad, why does that little red truck run all over town setting these houses on fire? Now that answers the question about people saying, well, if it was a God, he wouldn't do it. God shows up on the scene to try to get some good out of a bad situation, but he wasn't to blame for it.
He didn't set the thing. Oh, that's good. Did you get that? Now, it is time for all of us to become fully persuaded that it has been our failure to receive, our faith failure, not God's failure to do. The Bible says he rested. Why did he rest? Why did God rest? Did God rest because he's tired? No, he rested because he was finished. And he has finished his work in Christ Jesus, and it is out there, and it's available to you and me, and the laws of faith are what energize our success. And Jesus is a good Jesus. Praise the Lord. Brother Charles and I will be back.
For every believer longing to receive the blessing God has provisioned for each of us, for anyone with a friend or loved one in need of the victory that is the result of Bible faith, Kenneth Copeland Ministries offers the spiritual perspectives of Charles Capps, presented in this profound book, Faith and Confession. Faith and Confession is a practical, biblical look at exactly how to activate Bible faith in your daily life. This is nearly 300 pages that clearly outline how the faith-born confessions of God's Word tap into the supernatural realm of blessings. This is a 21st century look at the biblical principle that balances faith and confession. In this book, Charles Capps explains how the law of faith works, the difference between a confession and a lie, and how to use wisdom when acting on faith. The abundant life God desires for every believer is within reach. For you and for someone you love, Faith and Confession from Charles Capps will open the door. To order your copy of Charles Capps' book, Faith and Confession, log on to kcm.org and order online. This book is essential for your family and is available for just $12. To order by phone, call us at 800-575-4455. You may also write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy of Faith and Confession by Charles Capps today.
Now, Brother Charles and I have been talking about the confession of the word and so forth. But now, let me read this. If you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Who shall be saved? Whosoever. Now listen to this. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. But whoever believeth in him, in order to activate it, has not only believe it, but to confess it. And I'm saying this because if you've never accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life, I'm telling you, there's a war over your life, and Jesus has already defeated the devil. He's done everything it takes except the praying of your prayer. And when you pray that prayer, it seems like it's awfully simple to you, but Jesus has done all of the hard part, and everything he did immediately comes to pass in your life. So pray with Brother Charles and me right now. I'm going to lead you. Pray it out loud. Just pray it. Oh God in heaven, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Say it. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I repent of sin. I renounce the past. Jesus, you're my future. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that with us today, let me know. Get online, call, write, whatever you need to do. I want to send you these five little books to help you get started studying your Bible. You keep the Word of God in confession in your mouth. This little brochure to teach you how to study your Bible so that you can build your faith every day. And I'll send them to you free and postpaid. See you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland and Charles Capps reminding you, Jesus is Lord.
Request your free salvation package online at kcm.org. Five free books that will help you begin your exciting new walk with God.
I was in college. Let's just say I hadn't been living a perfect life. One evening I came home and found that my roommate had thrown a party that was completely out of control. That night, some people went to jail, and some people went to the hospital. It was a wake-up call for me. I kept thinking, what if I'd been there? I went back and stayed with my parents a week later and found myself at a party with an old friend. I stood there with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other. I looked at my life and I knew I had to be born again. The following Sunday night, I went to my parents' church, walked down to the front, and gave my life to Jesus. I have absolutely no doubt that I wouldn't be here today if he hadn't changed me. When I look at what he's done and what he did for me at the cross, I'm so thankful. Jesus thought I was worth it all.